pray. Father, we do thank you for this time. In all cases, I know, Lord, that I'm inadequate, but even more tonight, if you don't show up, I just don't have anything to offer of anybody. And you're like any of us as we approach your word. If it's not your Holy Spirit that does the leading, then it's really useless. It's really just almost meaningless babbling, just like any other thing that the world would have to offer. Where the Bible doesn't become living and active unless your Spirit makes it that way. So I ask that you would just make it come alive. Guide us in this hard subject. And Lord, let us garner some truth, but some warning from it. And we just thank you ahead of time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last week was tough. Or a couple weeks ago. It was tough, but tonight is, for me, probably one of the toughest. Because of the failures of my life. And so as I read this, it's with great conviction. It also is with great warning, so that you don't have to walk the same route I walk and pay the cost that I pay. But then beyond that, I want you to understand the deeper meaning of what's being said. So the first thing that I would point out is that the verse we're on is 31, Matthew 5, 31, and 32. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Now, this was a point of great discussion. It's been a point of contention. It's a real hard issue out there. Having been divorced, and especially more than once, it's like, what's the Lord have for people who've gone through divorce? What is the consequence? What's the spiritual implication? Why is the Bible very clear that God says, I hate divorce? Let's go over and, of course, young as some of you, guys, are you going to go, well, so far, that's not an issue in my life. I'm going to show you that it actually can be. First, let's go over to Matthew 19. And in Matthew 19, we read that some of the Pharisees in Matthew 19:3, some of the Pharisees came to him to test him. And they said, hey, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? Or every reason? Jesus says, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator, God, made them male and female? And he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Why then, they asked, did Moses command the man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Well, Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. As I've said, this whole section is a heart issue. Because your hearts were hard. He never wanted to give you permission to do it in any manner whatsoever. He never wanted it to happen. But because your hearts were hard, and because you were being the way you were being, He made a way. He says, but it is not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman, commits adultery. Last week I talked to you a little bit about Ephesians and about what it said about wives and husbands and about marriage. And let me quote you Ephesians 5:31. You'll notice how it's pretty close to the same verse. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Now, I read to you what it said after that before too, so you should already know this, but it says this, what he just talked about, the becoming one flesh. This is a profound mystery. Anybody remember what that mystery is? He said, this is a profound mystery because I am talking about Christ and His church, and how the two will become one, and that your marriage is an example of your relationship to God, and the intimacy is an example of Christ in the church. Now, can you start to understand why He hates divorce? If your marriage and the intimacy a man has with his wife is what God wants with His people, and what's the only thing that He'll give reason that you could go and get divorced? Unfaithfulness. What would be the equivalent of that with God? What would be the equivalent of unfaithfulness with God? How about, go ahead.
Like doing satanic things.
But that would be, but do you have to go that far? How about making, if you have God as your God and there's that intimate relationship and there's that love of God, what if you go make somebody else another, what if you go make something else your God? Have you not left God for another God? Have you not been unfaithful to your God? What if power, popularity, anything, sexual desires, wanting things, you know, basically material, what if greed? Anything that becomes a god to you other than your God is committing adultery. Let's go back and look in a book that I was taught jokingly years ago was the only Italian book in the Bible. Anybody know what book that is? Malachi. Actually, most people call it Malachi, but this guy, he called it Malachi. The Malachi book. Last book in the Old Testament, but it's Malachi. Okay, in Malachi, they're having some problems. One of the problems they're having is the priests are going about all the efforts and the things like that, and they're doing their sacrifices and stuff, but nothing's happening. It'd be like if you had prayed all the time, nothing ever happened. Nothing ever changed. And you're going, these are worthless. Is it the prayers that are worthless? Or have you created a ceiling above you? Now, an interesting one is men are told point blank that you can stop your prayers from even going past your ceiling. You know how you can do that? We heard about it in the last few weeks. By not being good with your wife, by not supporting your wife, by not building her up, by not being the man that you're supposed to be that stands in the gap for your family. If you're not doing that for your wife, your prayers, the rest of them, they can go unanswered. Because God says that is so important that you have that relationship, that if you don't have that right, it's going to mess up all the rest of it. Didn't He just say that your marriage is like Christ in the church? That's how important it is. It is supposed to be in a right relationship. So, they're struggling. They're having some problems. So, let's take a look over here in Matthew, or Malachi, I'm sorry, 2:13. It says, here's another thing you do. You know, they're going, well, how come things aren't working right? Why aren't we doing this? And he gave one example already that was here. And then he goes, well, here's another one. First he says, you're being unfaithful about certain things and you're not doing things right. And he goes, another thing you do is you flood the altar with tears. You come and you put on a good show. You come in here, you cry before God about everything. You weep and you wail because He no longer pays attention to your offering or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You've lost your relationship with God. And you're crying about it. And you're really broken up about it. You want that relationship. Why? Because the main reason people want that relationship is usually blesses their life and makes it better. So you want the good. And God says, why don't you have it? And He goes, here's why. You ask me why. It's because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth. Because you've broken faith with her. And though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant, has not the Lord made them one? She's going back to that. You became one flesh. Didn't I make them one? In the flesh and in the spirit, they are His. And why one? Because He was seeking a godly offspring. He was seeking for you to act in a godly manner. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break your faith with your wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord. And I hate a man covering himself with the violence as well as with his garment, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourselves in your spirit and do not break faith. What God is saying is that this, if you remember how He says in other places, He goes, if you can't obey the authorities that are here on this earth, then why would you ever think that you could obey God? If you can't obey and do the things and follow the commands of those who I put in authority over you that you can see, who would make me ever think that you would obey me that you can't see? If you can't put value on the right things in this body, in the flesh, you know you can't in the spirit. And that's why He says, don't, you know, on the other side, don't pretend. See, you have to understand they go together. On one side, you can't do the things you're supposed to do on the outside, but not have your heart follow along. But on the other side, you can't do things that say you're doing things in the heart and not have it reflected in the flesh. Oh, I love the Lord. I do. But you don't obey. You don't do this. You don't do that. You know, it's... And then here He's saying, if you... It's in almost in the same way as saying, if you lead someone, if you like become spiritually bound with somebody, you lead somebody to the Lord, Okay? You are used by God to lead somebody to the Lord. Now, what if in front of that person, you get them to, you start worshiping a false idol? You start dealing with tarot cards. You start delving in Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness. You know, my personal opinion, and you know, others disagree, some even within my own family, that you know, you start looking into things like you're okay with things like Harry Potter or Twilight or Charmed or Witches of Waverly Place or whatever. You know, I mean, anything to me that waters down the occult and says that witches and warlocks are okay is watering down something very evil and saying, oh, come on, they're good books, they're this, this. I disagree. Okay, I'm not. Is God going to condemn them because of what I'm saying? No. Am I the truth on all matter? No. Is it my opinion? Yes. Is it what I believe to be God's opinion? Yeah, I think so, and I can be totally wrong. But I'm going to tell you, that's what I believe to be true. That you shouldn't be delving in that at all. Now, what if by doing that, you're okay with it? And it doesn't make you change your belief in God at all. But what if by doing that, somebody who looks to you goes ahead with those books and has no problem with it? You know, a statistic alone that would drive me crazy is the fact that the interest in the occult, like, rose, I forget how many, I don't know, like 200-300% in England after Harry Potter came out. Why? Because it's witches and warlock, and it's okay. Sorcery, it's okay. Well, then I want to find out about it. Everybody knew about the occult, but they stayed away from it because it represented evil. Well, if Harry Potter wasn't bad, and Hogwarts wasn't bad, and all this stuff wasn't bad, you could be a good witch. You could be a good warlock. And with that, maybe, you know, maybe at the same point in time, Wizard of Oz is a bad thing. Because didn't they have good witches as well as bad witches? So didn't that water it down too? I mean, you just have to watch. I mean, it's where do you get it? But if that causes somebody to be okay with witches, they're okay with warlocks. Are there witches and warlocks in the world? Yeah, big time. Do they have power? Yep. And if people want power, can they go there and get it? Yeah. But is it good? No. It's power of Satan. I've read and heard people who used to be parts of different rock bands, and they said point blank that they would be approached by angels of darkness and said, hey, if you sell your soul to us, we'll make you popular. Your music can suck. You ever wondered why some music that you listen to and you go, it's just tank, but they're really popular? Well, the enemy can make people like it. If you're part of the world and you're not protected by God, you can, and even if you are, the enemy can do things. But if you're, you can make things sound good to you. And all of a sudden, it's not. And it's not on a good side. Now, whether or not, I don't know, whether that kiss was ever actually nice in Satan's service, I don't know. That's what, you know, we were told. That's what, you know. But there's a whole lot of people who are very, very pro-Satan. They're out in the rock and roll world. And they're definitely in his army. And they definitely have a whole lot of following. And they definitely have subtle messages. Now, I'll also tell you that one of the things I remember listening one time to Brian Fenimore talk about different healing times where he had, and how one of the things that's always taught is that the Spirit of God He has brought forth many times. God is very big about music. And the Spirit of God, he said that a lot of times what he would do is he would just set a boom box in the room, just playing Christian music in the background. And he goes, as soon as it would start playing, because of what they were trying to do, what they were calling on God for, and asking God's presence for, in power, you would feel it. And he talked about, times where, he would pray and he'd go, I got no idea God's doing anything. I didn't see anything. And all of a sudden, this lady, they're praying for her cancer, she goes over and lays down and just stays there for a while. And he's not doing anything. He goes on and takes care of some other people. Next day, she goes back to the doctor's office, and they said, this lady's in one of the later stages, and they're not giving her much time at all. She goes in, it's gone. He says, I didn't do anything. But God did. Well, I'm saying there's power. And a lot of times music brings that. Okay, you don't think that, if you believe in God, you believe in Satan. If you believe in angels of good, you believe in angels of darkness. They exist. My point to you is that this message is twofold. Not only get too far on that one. This message is twofold. Number one, in the flesh, don't do what I've done. Don't blow it and go through divorce. It's painful for everybody. One of the things I'll say about mine is that pride, other things like that, caused me to go through it. And my point was that down the road, I hurt a whole lot of people by my selfishness. And then I had to turn around and walk back through every one of those people that I hurt and beg for their forgiveness and tell them that I was the one that was wrong. And I did wrong. And I still have broken relationships. I still have hurting children. I still have pain from that. And I can't undo it. I still struggle with guilt. God says, I forgive you. The point being is, don't do it. Don't go there. Make a commitment that you're going to save it for life. Don't say, hey, my dad went through it and he was able to. No, don't. Don't go through that pain. Don't go through that. It's not right and it's not worth it. The other is God says, if you're a believer, you're married to God, you have an intimacy with the Lord, don't break that. Don't lose that. Don't go commit adultery on God. And yet that's what he said the Jewish nation was doing all the time. Even though about the book of Hosea. Do you remember we talked about that? He made him go marry a lady. She had a really weird name. Actually, they had a TV show. Except it was a guy that had that name. And he had a really weird name. Because he had a weird first name and a weird last name. His name was Gomer Pyle. Both those are weird to me. But anyway, he made him go marry a lady, and her name was Gomer. Which should have told you something right away. But she was also a prostitute. And he goes, she's going to go commit adultery. She's going to go prostitute herself with the world, with other men. Just like the nation of Israel is doing. And she's going to produce children who are okay with adultery, and they're going to go commit adultery too. Just like Israel. The nation of Israel, the leaders of Israel, the priests of Israel, committed adultery against God. And they started worshiping other gods. And the people who were the offspring, you got the leaders, and then who they produce by how they act, they do produce it. Look at what America's doing today. You got one party out there who does nothing. They say they're the party of the people, but all they do is buy votes. They buy votes off of other people's taxes. Not their own money. They tax people who go out and make money or do well, and they take money away from them and give it to other people and call it entitlements, And what you get is an entitlement mentality. What's in it for me? Now, you got the state of Wisconsin that just voted in a governor because they were so sick of the other governor putting that state so bankrupt and so far in debt, they voted him out. And the first thing he did is he said, then we've got to clean this up and everybody's got to make some sacrifices. And he said, to do so, we can't have all the unions of the state and being the government employees, the teachers, we can't have the unions like that stopping and saying, no, you can cut it for everybody else, but don't cut it for us. And what did they just do? A bunch of schools shut down today because they're all protesting. We don't want to do this, but we're entitled to so much. I'm sorry. It's going to take some horrendous cuts. But that state's going to go broke. And nobody's going to have anything. And the other thing is true, you're going to see people hate the new Republicans that are up in Congress this year. Why? Because they're going to have to do the same thing. We have the most bloated budget and the largest debt that we have ever had in the history of this country. And we're about to go bankrupt as a nation. And we can't come out of it if we don't make some horrendous cuts. But those cuts are going to mean that people who think that they're entitled to certain things. I should have this given to me. I deserve it. No, you don't. You deserve an opportunity to make a living, and that's all you deserve. I remember when my dad almost disowned me the first time I ever collected unemployment. Because that's not how he was raised. That's not what they did. He said, you don't take stuff from the government because there's something always tied to the other end of it. It actually belonged to somebody else. You know? But it was just the way they were raised. They saw how it hurt. I read about a hurricane that hit New Orleans in 1900. And the government was going to help them, and they told the government to stay away. They'd take care of it themselves. What happened when Katrina hit? Everybody screaming, where's the government? Why did it take you so long to get here? And where's all my handouts? You owe us. Totally different thing. And it's this country and the leaders of this country that have produced those kinds of people in this country. What I'm saying, that's what was happening in Israel. The leaders of Israel were prostituting themselves with false gods and teaching their people to do the same thing. And God says, don't go do this. You're married to me. It's permanent. Did you notice that what he said is, whatever God puts together, let man not separate it. He doesn't ever want it separated when he makes it one. Father, this is a hard subject. And Lord, I know that the statistics are pretty much the same inside the church and outside the church. And it's a horrendous statistic that says over half the people that get married get divorced. And then it just goes downhill from there. And God, in this day and age, with the attitude toward marriage, which reflects an attitude towards you, Lord, it takes a miracle to keep marriages together and to have people truly believers in you. But I pray that we'd stand in the gap, that we'd take a stand. And Lord, I just pray that no matter what, you would keep our marriage together. No matter what, you'd keep us strong with you. But it doesn't matter what the world brings. It doesn't matter what they tempt us with, what they put before us. Lord, we can't break either one of those covenants because they're one and the same. And Lord, I pray that you would just touched, anybody that hears this in the room, online, whatever line, and just renew their commitment to you. And if they're married, renew their commitment to the marriage. And if they're not, then maybe they need to think about whether or not it ever makes sense in their life, and if that's the right thing, or whether they just want to stay committed to you. And maybe you give them the ability not to marry and just focus on you. Or maybe if they can't fight the lust of the flesh, then they need to get married. And then if they do, Lord, let that be a godly marriage and let them be committed to their spouse and committed to you. Again, we can't do it in the flesh. We're going to fail. We show that every day. So Lord, I ask that your Spirit would just come upon us in a powerful way and give us everything. We ask it in your name, Jesus.